2 years ago, reporter Alicia Sperry began investigating reports of physical and sexual abuse in U.S. immigration detention facilities across the country. A grim pattern emerged from more than 1,200 complaints and hundreds of Freedom of Information Act requests. A majority of the alleged perpetrators were actually staff or contractors of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. In many other cases, officers witnessed the abuse and did nothing to stop it. Alicia Sperry is with The Intercept, and she shares her findings.
The reports are a little bit all over the place. I think an important part of the story is just how poor the record keeping is and how inconsistently these allegations are recorded. But one picture that does emerge, even though the data itself is fairly limited, is just how massive and systemic this abuse is. And we ran our own analysis of these complaints, and we actually found some really troubling conclusions. One of them is that 59% of the allegations identify an officer, so that's an ICE staffer or a contractor, as the alleged perpetrator. Another 34% identify an officer as a witness, so we had an officer that either witnessed directly or was told about the abuse. And then in another 22% of cases, we have both an officer as the alleged perpetrator and an officer as a witness, which really tells you, you know, not just how incompetent and how poorly ICE and immigration detention centers protect the people they're tasked with detaining and protecting, but also how complicit they are in that abuse.
Now, 1,200 cases, more than 1,200 cases, is a big number, but give a size of the universe here. Does that suggest that this type of sexual abuse is rampant, happening every day of the week? What's the denominator here?
So first of all, the numbers we have come from the Office of Inspector General, which is an independent office within DHS that is tasked with monitoring different agencies, including ICE. I actually filed a FOIA request with ICE itself 2 years ago, and ICE never complied with it. So we don't have the full picture that ICE has. The OIG's numbers are partial in a sense. ICE did respond to my request for comments just a few hours before publication, and they gave me their numbers. And basically they said, you know, we have less than 300 reports of sexual assault and abuse every year. The detainee population is about 40,000 men, women, and children on any given day. But those are still pretty staggering numbers. And we also know there are a number of reports that never actually get written down, and there is no record and documentation for them. The other important thing in reference to the 1,200 complaints we got is that through the FOIA request we filed with the OIG, we were initially told that the OIG received 33,000 complaints of various types of abuses happening in detention. And for reasons that remain a mystery to us, the OIG actually responded to my record request twice. The first time sending aggregate data that pointed to these 33,000 complaints, and the second time giving us actually narratives for these 1,200 complaints. So I think it's important to read these numbers with the understanding that they're by no means comprehensive, and we can't even tell exactly what percentage of the full picture they portray, because we just don't have the full numbers. And I think another really important point here is that ICE is actually required to publish all numbers related to sexual assault that happens in detention every year. Still, they have never actually done it.
What types of abuse are we talking about across these 1,200 cases or more?
So we asked for all data relating to sexual harassment and assault and physical abuse in immigration detention. The data we were given by the OIG is really all over the place in the amount of detail they provide. So we have a number of complaints that only say, you know, assault or sexual assault or rape without further description or sort of without further details about the incident. And then we have these excruciatingly graphic and really detailed allegations of rape that happen. We also have a number of reports of verbal abuse, of physical abuse that's non-sexual in nature. And we have a significant number of allegations that concern minors.
Now, you traveled to an ICE detention facility in California to report part of this story. What did you find?
Yes, I traveled to the Adelanto ICE Processing Center in Adelanto, California, just 2 years ago, around the time that I filed this FOIA request. And I was really interested in seeing what is the process for detainees that want to report abuse. And the system is actually there. ICE has some pretty solid policies in place. So detainees that are taken into detention, they're given an orientation in which they're told what their rights are. They're given a manual that details how they can report abuse. There are mailboxes that are locked all around the detention facility, and detainees can use those to file complaints anonymously. And then there are numbers that are posted on flyers all around the facility that detainees are invited to call. So like the system is there. The problem is the implementation of these policies and sort of the system of checks and balances on each facility to make sure that the guards that are working are not actually pressuring detainees not to file a complaint.
I mean, what you're saying suggests that there is a broad policy from the very top that would demand accountability for sexual assault in ICE facilities, but that the rank and file, the people actually policing or guarding these facilities, don't take it very seriously.
Yes, but the leadership is ultimately responsible to everything that happens in its centers. And, ICE maintains that it has a zero tolerance policy for all forms of abuse in detention. They do have this sets of policies in place that require all facilities to have prevention and intervention programs in place. And they actually audit these facilities for compliance with PREA standards. And I think that's interesting because that does show some of the failures on part of the ICE leadership as well. So, for instance, they didn't actually start auditing facilities until last year. So far, they've only audited about 77% of them, and they've actually found them all in compliance with standards, even though we know from advocates and detainees and attorneys that there is rampant abuse in some of these detention centers.
Right. So where does this go, Alicia? If your reporting and the documents that you got from your FOIA request and the statements of detainees themselves and advocates say that this type of abuse is rampant in ICE detention centers, but 77% of facilities have been audited and the agency says things are peachy, where does this go?
You know, advocates have been warning about this for years, and there just hasn't been a really solid response. I think one of the problems is that ICE detains just so many people, and just the sheer number of individuals in its custody make it so much more difficult to implement even good policies that may be in place. And I think one of the things that advocates will say is that there just doesn't need to be that much detention. If ICE cut its population in half or more than that, then it would be a lot easier to really put in place some serious oversight.
Alicia Sperry, reporter with The Intercept, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.